Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of October 28th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach. So this time we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Welcome back.
What's
going on, gang?
Oh, yeah, because you've been... We did the commentary on Monday.
That's how big of an impact I have yes. on this podcast. Nobody even knows that I'm gone for 2 weeks.
Well, I was just thinking because like we just talked to you on Monday when we did our commentary for House on Haunted Hill. So it was like, wait, Joe's gone?
But the Marks don't know that, Zach. The Marks don't know.
They do now. Well, they should know if they've been on site and seen it.
Yeah, I suppose.
Go check out our House on Haunted Hill commentary, everybody. We'll probably talk about it in a little bit.
Chills and thrills.
So anyway, I don't know, Halloween week? Everyone excited for Halloween?
Devil's Night. Devil's
yeah, I guess
Night.
They're technically recording a Devil's Night or all Hallows' Eve, whatever the day before Halloween is.
Hey guys, you want to go around to, like, cheap housing developments and abuse them till they move out?
A little bit.
Want to, like, go, like, murder a goat and then, like, try to raise a demon?
Beat you to it.
You want to go to the Voorhees house and read from a few passages to open a portal?
Read the Necronomicon.
You want to go to the woods?
Let's go have sex on top of Jason's grave. Just see what happens.
Freddy's claw will come out.
Yep.
So, anyway, we're going to get right to the show. We have a ton of stuff to talk about. And right at the bat, we have a couple of gigantic trailers to talk about. So first and foremost, the first trailer for Captain America, The Winter Soldier premiered last week, coming out in April next year, which is kind of weird because usually it'd be like a May sort of thing, but they're coming out in April, yeah. Kicking off even earlier summer blockbuster season. I believe it's picking up 2 years after Avengers. Cap has been working with S.H.I.E.L.D. and then
he's been working at McDonald's.
Yes. What is this? Like, hamburgers? Quick?
A Big yeah. Mac?
Chicken nuggets?
I'm listening. This is convenient and delicious.
This is much better than K-rations or whatever help we had in World War II. Cap's working with Black Widow and Falcon as part of this, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. team. And then... the Winter Soldier shows up to cause some havoc. So, what'd you guys think of the trailer, Joe? Why don't you go first?
I was pretty psyched, man. I mean, not to sound like a total bitch, but, like, I don't know, like, the Phase 3, I guess, like, these sequels that are going on, not too pumped about them. To be honest with you, like, on paper, don't really care that much about Thor the Dark World, didn't really care that much about Winter Soldier. I think Iron Man 3 might have had a little bit to do with that for me.
Yeah, Iron Man 3 definitely, like, as the summer went on, just got kind of, like, lower and lower and lower.
Yeah, and I kind of just get the vibe that, like, I guess these are just, like, sort of fluff or, like, filler movies until,
Avengers 2.
But, I mean, Winter Soldier, that trailer grabs you by the dick and, like, drags you around the room for a little while. So, I mean, that was a pretty epic trailer, and I really wasn't ready for it, I guess. I was kind of like, oh, let me just throw this on really quick, and they showed me what's up.
Mm-hmm. It definitely feels...
So
it feels like the most serious of the Marvel movies so far.
Oh, because
there's, like, this whole thing about, like, oh, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s, like, overstepping their bounds and, like, limiting people's freedoms and... Cap's not about that.
To me, I think one of the big themes here, or at least a chance, I hope they realize that this is, you know, what they could do. If it's my movie, I'm using this to set up Captain America not as an icon or as a figurehead for S.H.I.E.L.D., but kind of to give Captain America his own, like, pedestal to be on. And what I mean by that is, like, just like how the Dark Knight sort of established that Batman is good, but it's a very ambiguous and sort of, like, neither black nor white sort of good. You know what I mean? Like, he's his own entity that operates outside the law and isn't bad, but isn't, like, a real hero. I think they have the chance to do that with Captain America, too, where basically he can have a set of morals and ethics that exist outside of S.H.I.E.L.D., but he's still on the side of good. So he's probably going to butt head, or hopefully he's going to butt heads with Nick Fury over, like, policy, and they'll probably do some, like, allusions to, like, you know, the NSA scandal and all that sort of stuff that's been going on in the real world lately. Or at least I hope they do. So they could kind of show, like, well, regardless of the laws or regardless of what, like, you say is right or wrong, this is what I know is right, and this is what I'm going to stand for. And where I get that authority from is I'm fucking Captain America, you know? So I'm hoping that this movie really establishes Cap as, like, you know, the real classic, like, prime form of Captain America.
He's got the I can't remember exactly what storyline. It was a recent storyline, like his costume in this one.
Yes. Oh man. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's not like it's not the most recent one, but I think it might be like. I don't think it was the Brubaker run either, but it was like.
No, it's from the last like 3 years though. But yeah, that was an interesting choice, I think, because it's different, but it's modern enough to, like, I don't know. I think what it really comes down to is that they changed it so that they could sell more toys. I really hate to sound like a bitch, but, like, I kind of think that at the end of the day, that's what it's about. But they could do it in a way as so that they could pass it off as being like, look, like, Captain's suit has changed a little bit because it's been 2 years since any shit went down, so he doesn't have to look like, you know, totally ready to go like he was in the Avengers. Yeah. And a lot of people didn't like the Avengers outfit, but to me, I didn't really have a problem with it. Like, I thought it worked, and I thought it was close enough to the, like, ultimate Captain America outfit to be, like, genuine or whatever, but I don't know.
What did you think, Chris?
So, yeah, I'm always hoping he would become Nomad for no reason.
The world, just kinda, like, the public is not ready for Nomad, Chris.
Yeah, no,
I don't think so, man.
Marvel's not totally ready, but I thought that would be hilarious and really, like, show the Marvel, like,
and then it was like
lexicon
and, like,
of
just
crazy.
Just super 70s style, too, just, like, super gigantic cape and, like, yellow, like, disco gloves and stuff.
Are we forgetting to point out that Captain America has finally made a black friend?
He's always had a black friend.
Now he did.
Captain Falcon. This has been, like, the duo.
I was saying, now is... I'm thinking about it. He came from, like, the 40s.
Well, I mean, he was Sergeant Fury. Nick, I mean, was it part of World War II?
He wasn't in that, though. He was part of World War II, but this Fury, I don't think he's part of World War II in this,
no.
This line. I think this Nick Fury is, like, from Vietnam. I don't think he's from the World War II era. Nick
yeah,
Fury.
I don't think so.
As I'm saying, so, like, hey, Captain America has a black friend now, who... I think they're going to give the super soldier serum to, and that's why he's able to do, like, sort
it's,
of
it seems
things.
More tech. Like, his, like, it's like Iron Man tech, where it's, like, a wingsuit.
Well, no, as I mean, they're doing that whole... Maybe I just found this pattern out, but it's kind of like the Iron Man and, like, War Machine pattern, where, like, the white guy gets the first version, and the black guy gets the second version.
And the second one has...
Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me, but I just noticed that. Where in these movies, I'm like, wait, so Cap was just like the first stage, and the upgrade is like part Cap, part tech. That's how like the Falcon gets invented in this storyline. Because it wasn't like I think the original Falcon wasn't like a government like guy. He was just like some dude who dressed up like a Falcon, and then somehow he got in. Like he got like grandfathered into the Avengers.
Well, in the Avengers Assemble cartoon, he's like Tony Stark's like apprentice, and then it's like Stark Tech. It's like a experimental like Stark Tech that is like the Falcon suit.
Right. Okay, well, this one, I imagine it's kind of like, we just have this weird bird-shaped jetpack, and we give it to, like, this guy. And then,
it seems to work pretty awesome, though.
It seems to, but it feels like you need to fall off things to use it.
Yeah, I mean gliding, I'm sure. Unless it's got, like, rockets in it.
I bet it does. I mean, the trailer doesn't show it, but, I mean, if the only application is, like, a glider, like, it's very one-time use kind of thing.
You can hit some, like, thermals with the Chris.
I mean, I imagine they expand it. I just kind of wish you got a costume instead of, like, a weird suit.
Well, I mean, they couldn't just have, like, the actual Falcon suit, I don't think.
Yeah, we've got some spandex. We got this ice skater outfit.
He's a shield agent. He's got to be, like, dark and gritty, so.
Well, not to the shield show. Like, they seem bumbling idiots, like, half the time.
Derp, 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 derp,
yeah,
derp.
This, like, definitely there's a, kind of, like, a very distinct, like, tonal shift between, like, the shield shield and then the shield that's in Captain America Winter Soldier, which is, like, super, like, oppressive, like, fascist almost.
Yeah, so, I'm pumped for it because I was expecting the show's kind of, like, version come to life in the movie again. But it seems like they don't even know each other. Like, it's just like, this is the A team. And it's just like, hello, and this is, the D team. That's the show. So we're solving mysteries. Like, oh, okay, good for you.
Coulson and his, like, Scooby gang.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Coulson's a robot. Just let him do whatever he wants to do.
Maybe he's a cyborg more than a robot.
I mean, if he's not a life model decoy, like, I don't know what the hell that show is doing. Because that's, like, their whole thing. Like, he can never know.
But we don't even know fully what he is.
I mean, life model decoy has been, like, the most go to like Marvel like death fake out. That they've used, like,
well, it's
the last 30 years of Marvel Comics. Like, Nick Fury has had, like, 10 life model decoys.
Well, he also has a super serum in him, so that's one thing. The second thing was the Skrulls, where if a character died, it was an alien, you know? Oh, it was impersonator. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
I like the clones myself. Nothing illustrates that better than Spider-Man.
Oh, man. Nothing illustrates a Clone War better than, like, 1,000 Spider-Men. Mm.
No, I know. And then you get into, like, Ben Reilly, and good God almighty.
Then the reject clones, they don't go so well.
Yeah. They kind of short circuit and fuck shit up.
But they all have a thing for, like, a redhead. It's weird. I own that orc. It's very bizarre.
I know you do.
it's, like, right before, like, the 90s when they cloned that damn sheep, Dolly.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, why don't we do that to Spider-Man? It's like, who the fuck wrote this?
No. Why is that a good idea?
Then, like, Spider-Man started talking to spiders and...
Well, that's later. That was 2000. That was, like, post 9/11, where, like, well, the world's kind of... Let's give Spider-Man new powers. Yeah, he fought, like, an old dude who was, like, the original Spider-Man.
Yeah. Spider gods.
And Madame Web got younger and hotter. It was really bizarre.
Nice. It'd be great if Madame Web didn't actually get younger and hotter, but he just got progressively more drunk, and she started looking more appealing. That would be great. It's like, oh, Madame Web, I love you. She's like, oh, Peter, stop. These advances are inappropriate. I'll show you inappropriate, Madame
Web. Right, what'd you guys think of Winter Soldier? I think it looked pretty awesome.
Yeah, man, that was a pretty cool...
Really that stinger scene was pretty badass, where he catches the shield.
The whole thing was pretty badass on the whole, I'd say.
Like,
the whole thing looked pretty
badass.
Like,
multiple shield helicarriers crashing, and, like, that scene in the elevator where Cap takes on, like, 10 dudes.
Yeah. I like how he politely asses that. It's like, before we start, and we want to get out.
Yeah.
And if you notice, it's all the people in the beginning trailer, so it's like, oh, this sucks, because these are, like, friends of his, probably, that he's, like, beat up. Which is cool, because, I mean, in a Marvel movie, they haven't done this kind of, like, kind of dark twist. where the hero gets betrayed by his own organization.
Yeah, like porn style or something.
Yeah.
That's all, yeah, it got really borny. Like, it got really...
Borny.
It got, you know, like... I feel like Hawkeye would just be doing this, and it's like, this seems really
Hawkeye's
familiar.
Hawkeye's never being his own movie.
No, he's never going to be in anything ever again.
Where is he in this movie?
Like, he's looking for chems, Chris.
Probably fucking pumping gas somewhere, dude.
He's looking
for
chems.
Yeah.
He needs his memory chems.
I just got to get some chems and get myself right. Get off the streets and stop sucking dick.
Oh, Born Legacy.
Damn, Hawkeye.
the Adventures of the World's Most Powerful Drug Addict.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, yes.
What can you do? I could shoot a bow really good.
That's great, Hawkeye.
Yeah.
So Cap Winter Soldier coming out in April. Definitely super excited about that one. I'm sure we'll have some sort of Roundhouse review, possibly review cast on that when it comes out. And also, the other big Marvel movie coming out next year. There's three. We haven't seen Guardians yet. Trailer for Guardians yet, but I'm sure it's coming pretty soon. X-Men Days of Future Past got a trailer this week. The culmination of the Fox X-Men universe.
Yeah.
It's weird apology to everything that went wrong.
It basically kind of looks like Bryan Singer's attempt at making an Inception style movie. It's a little bit artsy looking, I gotta say. I mean, it looks like it's gonna be a badass movie, and this is only the first trailer.
Definitely, like it was setting up the tone and the sort of premise, and that was sure. it.
This is not going to be like a happy-go-lucky sort of like, we are the X-Men and we do lots of cool shit, like running around sort of movie.
Like,
this is going to be
first
like
class
a,
where it's just like wacky hijinks.
Wacky hijinks and like globetrotting in the 60s. And
Wolverine
like,
sounding the fuck off.
Badassery. Right. Like, there's still going to be some badass shit going on. Like, I like the idea of having the older sort of like more, even more grizzled and jaded like Wolverine. Yeah. This, you know, like with the gray streaks and stuff, like I like that idea. I like the idea of everyone being older, but I just feel like the playing with time sort of thing, I just have this awful feeling like it's gonna once again turn into a giant like gay metaphor.
And you had to go back in time to kiss that man, would you?
Pretty much. It's like, if you could go back in time to stop a mistake, would you? It's like I don't know. I kind of want to see an X-Men movie and not, like, your life story.
You have to get Charles and Magneto back together.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's kind of what it is. It's kind of like this fix the friendship movie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they couldn't really do, like, a Brokeback Mountain, so I guess they're doing that with Inception, because that's what the kids like. But visually, it looks fucking awesome. And again, like you said, this is just to set the tone. So I would not be surprised if, like, the next trailer or the third, like, final theatrical trailer or whatever is just going to be,
Wolverine
like,
just, like, it's
all
like
out fucking
3 minutes of Wolverine just, like, killing Sentinels.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. That's what I'm hoping we're going to get, at least. To me, guys, this movie has a remake, like, written all over
it.
It's
so,
and what I mean
it's
is
so
that,
weird, though, because it's like the first two is canon, but then also First Class is canon, and then X-Men, Wolverine is sort of, but not really. Like, yeah, Wolverine is because they tease Days of Future Past and the Wolverine.
The Wolverine is part
of the
story.
Wolverine, First Class, and like the first two X-Men movies are like the canon now.
But Wolverine, X-Men Origins isn't.
And right. Last Stand is kind of, I guess. I guess it is, but I mean, I'm sure they reference a couple things.
It probably just not going to be touched.
Yeah,
on
they're
going
to go back to like the first X-Men movie and First Class are probably the main two that they're going to go off of.
Probably, but
my wish is they can actually reboot it. Like when they finish this movie, it actually like resets
they tell another
story.
Time.
And just so I could clarify, that's what I meant when I said that this has remake written all over it. I think that this is like a love letter to the fans, where they're basically like, hey, like, thanks for being fans. Thanks for, like, fucking supporting these movies. So we're going to give you, like, the X-Men movie that you deserve, where it's basically like watching the goddamn comic. Because this is a very ballsy arc to pull off in a mainstream movie like this, you know? Like, this
very,
isn't something...
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing that if this were DC, it would be one of their animated movies. For sure. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's not even a gamble. This is a huge fucking gamble.
This is definitely their Flashpoint.
Like, yeah. Oh, it absolutely.
DC Flashpoint. Imagine that was like the fourth Batman movie. Like, oh, this is just how it is now.
Absolutely. So what I'm saying is that this is probably their way of like putting a bow on everything. Yeah, they'll definitely leave it open ended. You know, like they'll do some sort of cool after the credit shit. But more likely than not, they won't jump on. There's two ways that this goes. The first way is that they jump on the next movie by, you know, rebooting, starting from scratch, keeping it at Fox. The other way it goes is that they somehow manage to fuck it up and the rights revert back to Marvel. And then the madness really begins. Mm-hmm. So either way, I think we kind of win as fans. But part of me is kind of rooting for the whole rights going back to Marvel thing.
Just to get, like, Wolverine and the Avengers.
Fuck yeah, man. Are you kidding me? How great would that be? Just to have, like... And even if it's not just Wolverine, like, just to have, you know, Avengers and X-Men crossover. Mm-hmm. Ooh. So exciting.
But yeah, I mean, definitely looks pretty... Like, it looks pretty great so far. Hopefully the next trailer is just a little bit more, like, get a sense of, like, what the action is, and maybe just see some Sentinels and stuff.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a great movie. I just don't know if it's going to be a great, like, X-Men movie, if that makes any sense. You know, like, it's going to be an awesome movie, but it might not be, like, my favorite of the X-Men movies.
Mm-hmm. I still think it's X2 for me.
Oh, I don't think it gets much better than that. I mean, I still haven't seen the
X2,
Wolverine.
I would say X2, then First Class, then, like, the Wolverine X-Men 1 tied for third.
Yeah. First Class is pretty damn good.
So, that's Marvel. And then kind of just sneaking in under those two gigantic trailers, DC was like, hey guys, here's the trailer for our next anime movie, if you want to look at it. So they put the trailer for Justice League War, which is coming out next year. Which is, I think, the first one, or like the first movie that's like kind of take place like in the same continuity as on the previous one. So it's picking up right after Flashpoint Paradox. And Darkseid's leading an alien invasion, and then the Justice League has to form for the first time to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's got like new 52 style costumes and stuff, and a whole new voice cast again for the movie, and not even like any like returning, like none of the animated series people are back. No Nathan Fillion as Hal Jordan,
of course not. Yeah,
they got like Alan Tudyk is going to be Superman. Michelle Monaghan is going to be Wonder Woman. Sean Astin is Shazam. Jason O'Mara is Batman.
Eh.
And then a lot of, like, I guess, like, TV people? I don't recognize a lot of the other people who are doing the voices.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, as with all the DC, as with all the DC animated movies of late, like, I'm excited, and I'll see it, but it doesn't exactly have me jumping up and down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at this point, it's a pretty safe formula that they have going on. They're relatively cheap to make. I love the fact that they can make movies like this, make animated movies like this, you know, and give us, like, a Batman Year One and a Dark Knight Returns and, like, All-Star Superman and Justice League Doom, like some of the really, really good ones that stand out. you know, and that I feel are head and shoulders above the rest. So I like the idea that this is an outlet for them. It's just, I don't know that this one in particular has me too excited.
Yeah, it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't really jump out as, like, it just seems like kind of like a standard, like, they're going to fight aliens for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to keep up, like, the violence level, though, because, like, the last couple of movies have been, like, ridiculously violent.
Well, hey, I mean, what about the first one they did, Justice League New Frontier? Like, the first time you see Batman, he's basically, like, in that classic, like, 30s Batman garb, and he's, like, graphically, like, breaking bones and shit, and people think he's a monster, and he's, like, growling, and it was fucking brutal. So when I saw that, I was like, god damn, like, if this is the sort of tone that they keep up for their animated movies, and for the most part, I feel like they have. I feel like there are only a few movies that they've released that haven't, that, you know, have been kind of like, meh, like, that wasn't really too good. But everything else has been pretty solid.
I feel like Flashpoint Paradox gets up, like, a notch, though, too, because it's, like, it was kind of, it was alternate universe, so they could just, like, murder everyone they wanted, and they did.
Yeah, no, that was very cool. I would love to see something like, and not to keep harping on Batman here, but just because I feel like it speaks to, like, that style of movie that I'd like to see. I'd love to see something like Gotham by Gaslight as an animated movie. Which, those of you who are unfamiliar with that, it's basically what if Batman was Batman in London in the 1800s and had to track down Jack the Ripper. Pretty fucking...
In other words, you mean what if Batman and Sherlock Holmes became a weird fan fiction baby?
Pretty much. Pretty much. But the thing is, like, he's still fucking Batman. Like, he's still the same character. It's just he doesn't have, like... the gadgets
cool
or the
yeah.
Right, but he has like cool, chemicals. Like, a chariot and like a horse and shit, and like it's more like detective work, but it's still pretty brutal. Anyway, something like that would be awesome. Something like Nightfall, I think, would be a perfect DC animated movie. And according to some of the rumblings, it may actually be happening, which would be most
Red
good.
Sun, I'd like
but,
to see that. That'd be amazing.
Red Sun would be perfect. I think that'd be a great... I mean, it's an awesome Superman story, number one. Number two, it's kind of poignant given current events, which may be why they're not pulling the trigger on it. But it's also perfect in the sense that you have all the major characters are built into it. It's not like you're making a Superman movie that you have to factor everyone else into. It's the sort of thing where it's like, well, Wonder Woman is in the story. Yep. Batman is in the story. Like, the major villains, for the most part, are in the story. So it really just becomes a matter of how do we condense this into like a 70-minute or 75-minute animated feature, and not like how do we make it make sense? You know, it's more about like shaving it down and streamlining it than it is like really adapting it. It's a great medium that they have going on, so I hope that we continue to see more stuff like this.
Yeah, and DC definitely winning that battle because like Marvel's animated output is kind of terrible. Their cartoons are okay. They're nowhere near Avengers, like Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Like either of their new shows. Have you been keeping up with Ultimate Spider-Man, Joe?
I'm sorry?
Have you been keeping up with Ultimate Spider-Man?
No, not in the least. I've been watching. I started watching like the first 5 episodes on Netflix way back, and I love it. I love the tone. I love the fact that it's for kids, but it's very, like, adult, too. I love that it's kind of, like, Family Guy, like, with, like, cutaways and, like, weird cartoon, like, really fourth wall cartoony shit going on. I like it a lot. I think it's great. Not as good as Spectacular Spider-Man, but still pretty damn good.
Alrighty. So, anyway, moving on. A couple bits of sequel news to talk about. Olympus Has Fallen, which I think was one of the best action movies of this year. Definitely the clear winner of the Die Hard in the White House battle.
Hands down.
So that's getting a sequel. And pretty much everyone's going to be back. Gerard Butler, Aaron Eckhart, everyone else. And it's heading to London. It's going to be called London Has Fallen.
London Bridge is falling down.
If someone doesn't make that pun, the movie fails.
I just did.
But shouldn't, like, it be called, like, something like British now that's just like London, the city is fallen. Like, shouldn't it be called like
he has like a what like is he has a Gerard Butler's on vacation and then like the Queen gets attacked or something. It's like the Queen's nickname.
Well, maybe the Queen, the
Buckingham has fallen. I mean,
Buckingham, or maybe like Camelot has fallen. You know, something very British. Even though Olympus has fallen is like a Greek term, more so. This is like there's no like style between the two naming factors. That bugs me.
Olympus has fallen to Buckingham, or some like weird like British like the sniveling of
Boston Tea Party.
The Dorney Witch of Cambridge or something, some like ridiculously British subtitle to it.
The Irish are coming.
But I guess basically, Aaron Eckhart's president is in London for some sort of conference. Gerard Butler is his head of Secret Service now. And then terrorist attack again.
So is he like a really great like guy to have around, or is he just like this bad luck charm?
Well, I guess as long as he keeps saving the day, I guess it'd be fine. So that is going to be probably like 2015. Like the spring of 2015 probably, because I don't think you'd be able to get into that super jam-packed summer. And then the other bit of sequel news is that Trick or Treat 2 got announced earlier this week.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, Trick or Treat 1 is basically a Christmas Story of Halloween. like you can watch that pretty much every Halloween, and it's like a tradition. It's almost like the perfect Halloween, like along with like obviously Halloween. It's kind of like the perfect Halloween movie because it's set during Halloween. It's got everything you would want from Halloween, like trick-or-treating and costumes and horrible murders and monsters and everything. So, yes, Trick or Treat 2, apparently still going to be an anthology, like a couple of, like three or four interrelated stories, like the first one. And then there are going to be, like, Sam's going to be in them at some point. Sam's, like, the little sack boy who, like, runs around and is, like, the main character of the movie. And then same director, Michael Dougherty. So, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I try to watch Trick or Treat, like, every Halloween since it came out.
Wasn't there, like, a Trick or Treat 2 booth at Comic-Con?
Well, I mean, FearNet is doing, like, the 24 hours of Trick or Treat.
Ah.
And they had, like, a big fan thing, I think, on, like, Monday or Tuesday, which is where they announced Trick or Treat 2. But did you guys enjoy Trick or Treat 1?
Yeah, man, it's a bitchin' movie, but I'm just, I don't know. Sometimes, like, a sequel isn't all it's cracked up to be, mm-hmm. You know? Like, it's always going to be hard to live up to the first, but, you know, we'll just have to see what happens. Just keep that head up high. And
I think I'm noticing a trend of hot like horror movies having anthologies now. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a return because like VHS, ABC's Death,
ABC's Death 2 coming out, VHS 2.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I thought there was another one possibly, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of like that was like the huge thing in like the 80s and 90s, like all the anthology shows. Tells the Crypt, new show, new Twilight Zone, the reboot Outer Limits, like Freddy's Nightmares, Friday the 13th series. So yeah, definitely gonna keep track of Trick or Treat 2, see how that goes, and then moving on. There's a couple of major deaths last week. So first up, Hal Needham passed away. Legendary stuntman from like pretty much every, like, 60s Western, 60s, 70s Western. And then probably best known as the director of Smokin' the Bandit, Cannonball Run, Hooper, Cannonball, Smokin' the Bandit 2, and kind of my personal favorite, Megaforce.
Yeah.
Which is one of the greatest, like, awesomely bad movies ever. Like, it is like injecting cheese directly into your arteries or eyeballs. It is, like, and it's on DVD, but I wish it was on, like, Netflix or just somewhere you could watch it. Because it's on, like, YouTube in, like, 10 chunks. But yeah, if you can somehow find a copy of Megaforce, go watch that movie, because it is amazing. But yeah, I mean, and then also, I mean, obviously, Smokin' the Bandit 2 is amazing. Or Smokin' the Bandit 1 is amazing. Cannonball Run's amazing. It was like a great, like, it was a great pairing of Hal Needham and Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
And then also, Marsha Wallace passed away, who, she's been on, like, a ton of, like, variety shows, but I think probably we all know her best as the voice of Mrs. Krabappel on The Simpsons.
So sad.
And, The Simpsons said they're gonna retire Edna, after this next season. I don't know if they're gonna just, like, if they're gonna do it in the show, or just, like, they're just gonna, like, not mention her anymore.
Isn't she married to Ned?
I believe so.
I remember it was a weird thing of, like, there was this voting thing of, like,
I don't know if they're still married.
It was, like, this fan thing of, like, do you want them to be a couple still or not or something?
Oh, that was, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That went through, and they did. And then,
it was.
I think that was hilarious, but.
And they were talking about, like, there's a major Simpson death coming this year or something.
Well, timing is everything.
Yeah. Which I don't think it was going to be.
Intentional?
Yeah, I don't think it was originally, but maybe.
Yeah.
Although that may be kind of, like, disrespectful. It was like, well, she's dead, so the character's dead.
I mean, it sucks that they have to do this, and they it's out of respect they retire her, but unlike, you know, like a Heath Ledger moment, like, they can still, like, just get another character. It's weird, I know, but still. It's just, you're just retiring a character? Like, yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, who should come in and, like, teach Bart's class now.
I mean, they can probably boost it so he actually goes to the next grade level.
Yeah, it's about time, I'd say.
They've already messed with, like, super important things, like how Homer and Marge met, so.
Like, there's, like, four different origin stories.
Like, there's, like, we met in the 70s. Oh, no, we met in the 90s. God, that was, one of the worst episodes I've ever seen. The 90s, that 90s show.
Man, you haven't reached the pit yet where there's a time-traveling Homer throughout the decades.
Oh,
He wishes for, like, different outcomes, and so, yeah, and so like, Marge marries the Jew character.
Artie.
His name. Yeah, there's, like, an alternative, like, what if she married Artie first?
I think I actually saw that one.
Yeah, it's funny, but not
I've seen, like, maybe great. Three episodes in the last 10 years, like, I stopped watching it regularly, like, at, like, season 11 or 12.
It's worth coming back, some episodes at least.
Yeah, I mean, if I hear, like, oh man, this episode's amazing, like, I'm sure I would watch it, but. And I watch, like, I usually watch, like, the Treehouse of Horrors at least every year, and they've been kind of going downhill as well. Yeah, so anyway, moving on to other news. Some big Star Wars Episode 7 news came out last week. So screenwriter Michael Arndt got booted from the project. He was supposed to write the screenplay, And now J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan are rewriting the script.
So J.J. Abrams is directing and writing?
Yeah, co-writing the script.
So he might stay around long enough to see it end, because he does one or the other and then leaves.
And then Lawrence Kasdan has written a ton of movies, including Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So he has some Star Wars experience. I think he also wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark. Which, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, Toy Story 3 was great, but if you get the guy who actually wrote, like, the two, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, that's kind of, I mean, it's kind of a bigger deal, I think.
It's weird that it's not like they didn't consult the original group. It's not like they're all dead, you know, they can't go back and ask anyone. Mm-hmm. And they've written things, you know, it's great to have the veteran cast, because that's how you continue the damn story. You don't just, I mean, unless you're doing a reboot, I could see, but the fact that you're making a continuation.
Oh, and Lawrence Kasdan, he also wrote Shadows of the Empire, the game.
Which was great.
He also wrote Dreamcatcher, though, which is...
Okay.
And The Bodyguard.
That movie is famous for, like, the wrong reasons.
But he also wrote The Big Chill.
I was confused that with something else. Is that the one with Kevin Kline and they all hang out in a log cabin?
Yep.
Yep, okay. Apparently that was, like, witty. And I did not see that.
Yeah, it's like a dramedy. And I guess they also announced, like, the crew for Episode 7, which was, like, some obvious stuff, like, John Williams is doing the score.
It's, like, known information. It's like, we got the same janitor from the last three movies.
Well, I guess some other news about the script. I guess it's kind of, like, the original one that Michael Arndt did, I guess that, like, they weren't happy with it, so they're kind of, like, redoing the whole thing. Which might be why there hasn't been a lot of casting news, because there's, like, they're basically, like, adding new characters in all the time and, like, changing the story the entire time. So there's, like, nothing solid that they can actually, like, go and start casting for yet.
Which is a smart move, because who knows what kind of, like, story they want to fold, or if they want to go, like, balls crazy and just make, like, episode, like, 1, 2, and 3 and then in another setting, you know?
I don't think anyone wants 1, 2, or 3, Chris.
Well, and I'm in the same style. We're like, oh, let's reintroduce characters. Or, like, we, like, just come up with stupid concepts that pay off in, like, 3 movies later.
Well, it's like crazy, like, New Republic era now. It's like a couple decades after Return of the Jedi.
Is that, like, the concept of, like, one decade? Where Luke is already, like, the master Jedi, because no one else is, like, where he's at. Mm-hmm. And he establishes, like, the Jedi Academy, and then things go crazy when Leia has her twins, because, like, one of them becomes really good, one of them becomes really evil. And actually, before that, they had that weird, like, Clone War 2, where there's an evil Luke
named Luke. Luke with 2 U's.
Luke with 2 U's, which, the stupidest reason.
They cloned from, like, the hand they lost at Cloud City.
Which was kind of cool.
And then there's a million, like, Emperor clones.
That was cool, too. Like, that was able, he's able to stay so, like, in power all these times, so that whenever he got, like, ill, he just willed his soul into another clone.
I don't know why they just don't do, like, fucking, like, Heir to the Empire.
Because the Luke character was retarded.
Like, the Thrawn trilogy. Like, that's your new set of movies.
Well, kind of makes sense. He's like, hey, I'm the only one, like, in high ranking enough because everyone died. So now, like, you know, in management position, if everyone died on the list and, like, the VIP becomes the new CEO, that one of
those.
They're
trying to, like, crazy stuff like space troopers and the Ancient Smart Jade and, like, all these other crazy stuff happening.
Anti-force, like, armor,
which is cool. Anti-force, like, Muppets. Like, there's, like little, like, cat creatures that, like, block the force.
So, again, the possibilities are endless since there's been so much... There's much more lore than there actually have been, like, movies, you know? So, like,
take a look at the Star Wars Encyclopedia at some point.
And then watch the fans react. No matter what's going to happen, the fans are probably, like, lose their goddamn mind.
So, anyway, moving on. Just in time for Halloween, we learned that there's going to be a new Hellraiser. So, full-on remake, except star Doug Bradley is going to be back as Pinhead, and Clive Barker is going to be writing the script. So, a remake with, like, the original team on it.
a very unheard-of thing.
Yeah. Arguably what they need to do with Nightmare on Elm Street, if this works. But
and they kind of did it with Evil Dead, but like because like Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell were like producers on it.
Yeah, but it didn't star Sam Raimi though. I mean, it didn't star Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, yet.
Well, I mean, in the
maybe
kind of did. Yeah, at the end.
Possibly after the credits, there was something.
Might have seen it.
Ooh. My question was like, Doug Bradley, like, was he just not doing anything?
Not really.
Just like, hey, no, I want to be Pinhead, right? Like, yeah. So it's like, well, I've been doing this for like 20 years now.
How many Hellraiser movies were there before? Like, since
I think there was
four
like
four or five.
No, man, there were like seven that he was in.
I mean, there's they get to like I thought they got to like three or four numbered, and then it was just like they start doing like subtitles on them.
I mean, arguably the first one's the important one, and then I think that the
Hellraiser
third movie,
2 is pretty good too, dude.
I can't remember the one where they go back in the origin of Pinhead, where it's like he's actually like a good guy. Bloodlines. Oh my god. It's like, hey, your great grandfather Toymaker like was a friend. Oh, cool. Thanks, Pinhead. Why are you doing this anyway? Like, ah, my head hurts. Like, oh.
There's 9 movies in the Hellraiser series.
Oh my god, including the weird quasi reboot.
Well, I mean, there's Hellraiser 1, 2, 3, there's Bloodline, Inferno, Hellseeker, Deader, Hellworld, and Revelations.
A Deader is my favorite name ever for a movie. Deader.
Hellraiser Deader.
But Doug was in like 7 of those, right? I think there's only like 2 that it's not him.
Yeah, I don't think he was in.
And they were like the on demand exclusive ones.
He seems like a good actor to hang out with and, like, tell you fun Hellraiser stories.
When I used to chat with Rob England on the old AOL back in high school, like, he was always telling stories about Doug and, like, what a cool motherfucker apparently he is. And the cool thing about him is that, like, Robert England is kind of more recognizable or whatever. Like, you know, because people know that he's Freddy Krueger. Like, he gets a lot more publicity, like... you know, as an actor, like, oh, this is a guy who played Freddy. But with Doug, it's kind of like you could be standing next to him, like, at a urinal, and you'd have no idea who the fuck he is, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, like, until you see him at a con, and he's, like, standing under a picture of himself with his, like, nameplate, that you're like, oh, shit, I didn't recognize you without the fucking, like, nails in your face.
It's probably, like, the double-edged sword of being, like, a Pinhead, because it's like you just need to be like really pasty, and then
it's
like
my
blessing
and curse.
So I guess it's like a positive. I mean, a negative if you really like, want to be like in the spotlight all the time.
Yeah.
Like I bet there wasn't like a bunch of like Doug Bradley lookalikes. They're like, no, seriously, I am in Hellraiser.
Right,
that's like a pickup line.
The only one he wasn't in was Revelations.
Shit, he was in 8 of them?
Yeah.
God damn, Doug. He's a bad motherfucker.
He's only one of 6 actors to play the same horror character at least 6 consecutive times.
Yep.
Which is like, the other ones are Christopher Lee, Robert Englund, Warwick Davis, Tobin Bell, and Brad Dourif.
You're going for like a weird curse record where it's like, if you can break the record, you break the spell.
Arguably, Kane Hodder should have been in that list, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to go off on that tangent.
So, anyway, last bit of news for this week is that probably the most obvious news in the history of anything, Walking Dead got renewed for a fifth season.
Walking Dead? I've never heard of that.
It's a small indie drama that's on...
is that on IFC?
Yeah. Cool. God, what the hell's the name? Sundance channel.
Oh, Sundance? Yeah. Oh, okay. I was looking for it on Reels, and I didn't see it.
It's on, like, Clue. Or Chiller.
Sleuth. Oh, God.
It's just like...
Is that a real channel?
It's basically, like, they should just call it USA 2.
Yeah.
All it plays is USA reruns. Oh. Like, all it shows is, like, Monk and, like, Burn Notice and White Collar. It's all they show on that channel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, normally you go into New Rishonda for the week, but there's only really two things that came out this week. It was like ridiculously slow for new releases on DVD. Only things out this week are Monsters University and RIPD.
Ooh.
Which I know, Chris, you saw RIPD.
Yeah, it's, you've blatantly seen it too. Like, it's a movie
you've seen Men in Black?
So many times. Yeah, did you see Men in Black? Did you see Men in Black 2? Did you see Ghostbusters? Like, if you've seen those, you should watch
one of those instead. It's like, have you seen Men in Black? You should probably go watch it again instead of RIPD.
Save yourself the trouble, sweetheart.
Like, it's okay.
I'm sure
Redbox
it at some point.
Yeah, it's a good rental. Yeah. I saw this in like regular 2D, and I was like, I would never pay. 3D. For the extra $5 for the 3D.
The 3D did nothing.
And,
to make the movie better.
The concept is funny. Like, it's a very, like, weird take on the afterlife and the weird, like, weird policing that they have. And the rules, like, don't make sense. Like, whoever came up with these, like, laws, they just kind of like, this is what could happen. Okay, mm-hmm. Like, who judges that? Don't worry. It's part of the movie. Enjoy. Like, I imagine the comic goes into detail of like what this like is like the more like
sure it's like I'm sure it's like Stranger and like it feels like because I think Dark Horse puts it out, so I'm sure it's kind of like more like Hellboy.
More Hellboy. Like, I feel like there was a glimmer of it, but then they're like, no one will get that. Like, no one's mature enough to get that concept. And it's weird, because, like, this is after years of, like, comic book movies coming out already that they couldn't kind of find that formula yet for introducing a dark concept.
Right.
So, I mean, this movie could have starred anyone, and it still would have, like, flopped. It wasn't, like, Ryan Reynolds. It wasn't, Jeff Bridges. Like, Jeff Bridges' character was kind of funny because he reminded me of Buffalo Bill, because he once was Buffalo Bill. But the character isn't Buffalo Bill. Like, it's just... But I think when we reviewed that, we talked about this, like, almost, like, 8 months ago, where, the movie should have been, like, pulled a fast one, where halfway through, where instead of, like, you know, there's an alternate version of them, like, the human version, what they see isn't who they are on camera. And it switches perspectives between, like, Ryan Reynolds and, like, what's the hell is his name? Like, Benny something? The Chinese, old Chinese dude that's always in everything. That's his old Chinese dude.
Oh, God, yeah. He's always the Chinese gangster or, like, lovable uncle.
Yeah. Like, what if
there's no in the middle. It's either, like, you're a bastard, like, gangster, heartless, ruthless triad, or, Uncle Hong, like, what?
Oh, it's James Hong.
James Hong. Like, what if the movie was just all James Hong? Like, there wasn't, like, Ron Reynolds at the beginning and end, but, like, during the action sequences and the fighting, it's just James Hong, like, or James Hunt's stunt double, you know?
I love it.
That would have been a better movie, because it's just, like, this is wacky, and it tricked you, and it's probably cheaper, no offense to James Hong, it's probably cheaper to hire James Hong than Ryan Reynolds at the time.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And also, like, Mercer Miller for Jeff Bridges.
That was funny because, like, he would talk, like, try to seduce people, and it's really awkward hearing Jeff Bridges, like, with the southern drawl, like, talk about, like, weird sexual things to, like, other characters, and then it switches perspectives. Mm-hmm. But it's a novel idea, but it wears really thin because they don't use it well. So, imagine the comic, it's, like, really funny arcs and stuff, but this is kind of like, yeah, I kind of want to spend time on, like, questions about the afterlife. Like, they do not go into detail about the department, really. They're just like, this is just one division. Of what? We're just divisions of cops, like, in the afterlife.
We're the Boston department of the...
Yeah, it's like, we're the Boston department. Like, just Boston or Massachusetts? Like, it's a... Boston is part of, like, a bigger state. Eh, whatever, we won't go into detail on that.
You think they have, like, infinite resources? They would need, like, a specific department for each, like, city.
Yeah, but, and then the cops don't make any sense, because it's kind of like, well, I get, like, you want to have people who, like, want to be cops forever, but your, like, listings are really bizarre, because it's like, well, if you're a cop from, like, the 19th century, like, do you never, like, leave? This is terrible. This is a hell, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, those questions you have to ignore. So, I don't want to go too much detail about this. Like, this is actually a longer explanation than, like, the movie gave
me. Yeah,
very, yeah.
So go see RIPD, guys.
Yeah. Walk. Do not run.
So, anyway, why don't we get into show and tell? And, pressure kick it off with, we all saw House on Haunted Hill.
We should
go check out that commentary right now on the site.
You should pause this and go watch
right that. Now.
The classic Vincent Price horror movie from 1959 that is, I don't know if, like, we could talk about on the commentary, but I don't know if it was scary back then, but now it is.
Oh, it was terrifying back then.
Maybe it was, yeah. Now it is a hilarious, campy, goofy, ridiculous movie.
Campy, goofy, ridiculous, but it's more of a, like, fucking commentary on marriage at the time.
It's a weird, like, Mad Men-esque, like...
Oh my god.
It's basically like Vincent Price shows you how to, like, team a shrew. Like, that's pretty much what it came down to.
The highlight of the movie is definitely not, like, the ghosts or anything like that. It's Vincent Price and his wife just, like trading barbs.
His crumbling marriage.
Oh, you would like that, wouldn't you? See me die.
Don't worry, dear. It's not poisoned. Oh, yeah. Meal laced with.
If you took this couple and placed him from a divorce judge, like, they need to be divorced.
Be like instantaneous.
Yeah, just be like, well, I can see you need a
divorce.
Your
Honor,
badly.
Did you put arsenic in my potatoes?
Like, I knew she watched Parson. In fact, she made me watch me do it. Like, it's one of those movies where. It was because it's the 50s. It was a simpler time to for domestic mm-hmm. abuse, you know.
And also, it might not have been socially acceptable to get divorced. So it's just this spite marriage of
whoever dies first like solves this weird divorce. And it was such a dark time in the 50s because this is the movie version of it. Like, what was divorce back in the real 40s where it's like, oh, he got divorced. Like, how dare they to like. Oh, he murdered her. Well, that's sad. You know,
he
like,
wins.
It's so messed up.
And that was, like, the whole thing of, like, the movie is, like, well, Vincent Price murdered his wife and, like, her, her boyfriend. So, he wins.
Yay, go Vincent.
Yeah. It's, like, the vat of acid.
I really do, like, there's not enough time to let that soak in. Like, that's one of those things where, when it finished, we just kind of went, well, he murdered her, and that's how he solved his divorce.
It's not
like he murdered her. Yeah, and that's like, well, I guess that wrapped it up. Like,
and then paid off, like, the survivors $10,000 to shut up.
Well, we don't know that. We just know it ends right there. And then...
But we can assume.
I'm assuming it's like there's still hours left in the night.
I don't know if the original had one, but I know there was, like... Return to Haunt the House on Haunted Hill.
Yes.
Is that the sequel to Vincent Price or the other one?
I believe the Vincent Price one.
But I know, I couldn't...
Because he lives, dude. He's fucking good to go. Like, he walks away from that. That's like the Saw blueprint, man.
Well, half of Saw blueprint.
Well, no, I'm not saying like Saw was based on that. I'm just saying like it's the same sort of deal where it's like I'm going to orchestrate this fucking brutal thing in a way that I can calmly walk away. Or something similar.
Well, and I couldn't think of it when we did the commentary, but because I was trying to think of like, because there was a remake of it, and mm-hmm. the remake was Jeffrey Rush, not Liam Neeson. Because Liam Neeson was in The Haunting.
Yeah, there was The Haunting. Yeah.
Haunting.
The House on Haunted Hill remake was Jeffrey Rush, mm-hmm. and like,
and it was
terrible. And like Famke Janssen, and like, who the hell else was it? I think like Ellie Larder was in it, and a bunch of other people.
Ty Diggs, I think?
Yep, Tay Diggs. Chris Kattan.
Yep, Chris Kattan. This is sound weird, but I didn't mind the remake. But I saw first.
Yeah, right, me too.
And then I went back, and it's like, oh. It's funny, because Jeffrey Price is actually like a weird parody of this Vincent Price. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jeffrey Rush was the parody version of Vincent Price in this version. Because his name's like something Price, too. In that
there was a play on that, yeah.
And he has the same like weird pencil-thin mustache.
It's also like super weird because like the traps are way more elaborate. There's like spike pits and all sorts of other crazy stuff going on. And it's like I think it used to be like an asylum and not like a house. I think it used to be like it was like a prison or an asylum or something.
It was an asylum in the remake, and there was like a even fucked up dark backstory.
And everything was on timers, and then like they stay there too long, and the timers went off, and like all the like steel doors shut and stuff. That's how I got locked in.
And he was like an eccentric billionaire, not just like this angry billionaire in the original.
Like a spite dinner party.
But okay, let's not to spoil. Okay, you want to spoil a little bit because this is a question I thought later on.
I feel like the movie's like 40 years old. Yeah.
It's like it's the main. You can watch it on literally any video streaming site you could possibly go to.
So my question is, you know, the first trap that gets triggered, and that's not like it's not a ghost. It's actually just Vincent Price being
literally,
dead.
Like literally,
he just drops
like
the chandelier
after they get to the house. He drops the chandelier on them,
and like he didn't know that like anyone would move out of the way. He just did that. Like he personally had to be like, well, okay, time to go. Like,
well, he's super just like he's disappointed about it. He goes talk to his wife for the first time. He's like, all of our guests are here, still living, unfortunately.
It wasn't even like a ghost where they can blame that because after the end, the first thing they should say is, "You dropped a chandelier on me. You tried to drop a chandelier on me."
People saw that happen.
I get that you want to kill your wife, but you fucking just kill your wife. Don't like try to involve like the secretary woman.
There's so many like great like nothing you can do ever. Like you can never do anything in this movie like today. Like. Just have a party where, like, you give everyone guns.
Oh, my. Cults? Just cult 45s for everyone?
And, like, everyone loaded with scotch and just given guns.
And then find the drunkest, like, house historian?
Yeah.
Like, you could find?
I think he used to live there or something. It's, like, the whole thing. And then his brother used to live there. And then the brother got murdered and became a ghost.
Supposedly. Yeah. Like, shouldn't he be, like PTSO? Like, oh my god, I'm still here. Oh no, like, this is happening again.
I think that's why he's drinking so much.
Instead, he just... Well, instead of, like, being freaked out, he calmly, like, accepts it. Like, yep, this is gonna happen.
The ghosts are hungry. But, it's a super fun Halloween watch. If you want to check it out tomorrow, or if it isn't on Halloween today... sync it up to our commentary and check it out. So, Chris, what else did you watch besides House on Haunted Hill?
I went all horror movie marathon-y this past
perfect time
week
for it.
Where I watched... Yeah. Usually I watch, like, all the Saw movies in a sitting or two, but...
Happy Halloween,
ever since they got... And, until they got to, like, seven or eight, I kind of, like, stopped doing that.
Seven,
you got...
It's the end of a seven.
That is 14 hours of watching those movies. But I started the night watching VHS. Mm-hmm. The first one, VHS. The I guess, what, the 2011, 2012 horror movie?
2011, and then 2 came out this year? Or it might have been, I think it might have been 2012, and then this VHS 2 came out this year. It definitely, like, there was, like, barely any, like, it was, like, VHS 1, and, like, VHS 2 came out, like, the year afterwards, so, like, so, super, super close together.
Well, the VHS is a premise about these, like, people who break into this house looking for a tape, and instead of, like, burglarizing it, like, professionally, they just kind of, like, do a really bad idea, horror cliches, and separate until, like, each member of the group starts watching this, like, TV and slowly gets picked off from, like, a mysterious force.
The mysterious person who owns the tapes.
Yeah, and then each tape they watch is just, like, really messed up horror moments in first-person shaky cam view.
That are somehow, like, digital films.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, these are all different, like...
Like, what sick person converts, like, digital film to a VHS tape? That's the real like, sickness going on.
Yeah, I was like, wait. So, cause I know some tapes are VHS cameras, because it's like they're dated to certain times.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes sense why it's a VHS. Some of them are like a freaking GoPro, yeah. So it's like, how do they do this? And there's, like, little themes in each horror movie that they show during this whole thing. Usually it's like, don't be a white person and these scary situations. Like, most of the films are just like terrible situations with, couples usually that decide to like venture to areas where like,
let's go camping.
Let's go camping. Let's like fucking hang out with a stranger and hopefully you won't kill me. I'm blending, like, the first two... Like, I watched it back-to-back, so some of it gets, like, blurred, but I know the first movie takes a while to really, like, warm up to. Some of the stories are fun. They're very simple. Some of them are really, like, retarded, because the premise is like, oh... Actually, let me look at this up real fast, because I totally, like, watched them all in a hurry. This is...
Well, I think, wasn't there, there's like, how many there's like 4 segments or something? On, in VHS?
There's like 5? But then the overarching story is one of them, I think.
I know VHS 2 had less, but they're longer.
Yeah, but they're like way better in quality and storytelling. Okay, so, I guess, the first one starts with just like this weird... freaking douches who like want to do like first person porn shit, reality porn, and I hate everyone in this story. So when they get murdered, I'm like happy about it because they come across like some sort of weird creature woman and they just get killed. And I did not give a shit about any character. That's the problem with anthology movies, is that, like, but right when you kind of empathize with, like, the people getting murdered, you just either cared about them, like, no, I want to know more, or, like, thank God it's over. So, like, a few of them are like that. I really did not like Second Honeymoon, because there's just, like, this weird twist out of nowhere, and I couldn't figure out if this is horror or just, like, another, like, broken marriage. Did you see VHS 1?
I haven't seen any of them, so...
Okay. I'm not going to spoil so much, because some people haven't seen it then, but... Yeah, some of them are, like, really creative in how they introduce, like, the horror elements, and some of them are just like, well, it's the last 2 minutes, so we're going to throw a bunch of twists that doesn't make any sense, because... I mean, a good horror element should not explain everything. I get that. But for certain parts, I'm like, I kind of wish there was a little bit of detail to figure out what's going on. And actually, one of them isn't even, like, conventional horror. Like, do you consider aliens to be part of a horror story?
I mean, it depends. Like, it can be creepy. Like, if it's, like, more in, like, the, like, abduction invasion sort of thing. Like, I know, like, if you, like, Dark Skies is kind of more horror, even though it's aliens. And, like, Fire in the Sky is, like, ridiculously super creepy and awful.
Oh man, I haven't seen Fire in the Sky in a long time.
I would say that is definitely a horror movie.
Okay, like there's just certain things I question because you get like this theme of like ghosts and goblins and then
like realistic aliens. Like if it's more like kind of like what like going off like real like people who said they've been abducted, like going off that stuff. I think it's more horror. If it's like alien invasion, like that's more sci-fi action-y. Yeah.
Okay. Let me skip to the second movie then, because there's this one segment where it's just like blatantly alien invasion. And it's just like, wait, this happened? Because the story of all the common theme is these are things that happened, and they just recorded it. And so there's just a surviving film from that incident. Mm-hmm. And some of them like kind of make sense, where it's like, oh, what's that demon? Or like, oh, like, I was always a serial killer. That's kind of cool. Like, you know, that makes sense. And there's one where, like, it really just, like, I just kind of, like, scratched my head where I was like, wait, what? Like, and it's just like, yeah, this is a bunch of teens hanging out at their house and an alien invasion happens and everyone gets, spoiler alert, like, everyone gets kidnapped. And then before you realize what's going on, you know, like, what? Like, this isn't really horror. This is more like, this is an unfortunate house. Yeah. This is why you need guns in your house. that was like a good reason to own a gun, so like you don't get kidnapped.
You know what? And, the weird thing about like VHS, like these VHS movies too, like both VHS 1 and 2, is that some of the directors are like definitely like horror guys, and some of them are like not. It's like it's not like Masters of Horror, where, like everyone is like super established like horror directors.
Right. And I like Masters of Horror. Like, I was thinking this would be, like, the weird mini version. And it at times it tries to, but the overall experience isn't. You know, it feels like some seem very amateurish, very, like, low budget, low overhead to get actors, because there's really no one famous in any of these movies. Yeah. They're just a bunch of, like, tweens or they're weird 20-something-year-old pretending they're, like, 19. And a lot of the segments... I got a headache because the goddamn camera work was just like thrown into a dryer. So, like after the second, I watched back to back, and at the end, my head was pounding because just the first movie especially was very like tumbly.
Mm-hmm.
And I get like in horror movies they want to instill the cameraman scared, so that's why it's shaky. But still, no excuse for like getting me sick. So I got very queasy, and I was like, God damn, I gotta take a break.
Stop shaking. It's like even like worse than like Blair Witch or something.
Like on that same level, I think. Because I think one of the Blair Witch people was involved in VHS.
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the sequel, that's where they got involved. Because it was way steadier than fucking like, oh no, I dropped the camera down a like flight of stairs and then like way into a turbine. Like, this is so fucking headachey to watch. And the third movie I watched a day later was ATM.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So I was just like, well, I guess I'll watch something that's not like a shaky cam fun fest. And I was bored.
Oh, yeah, it's not great.
I was expecting a lot more twists and turns or like revelations and like why. And I just totally forgot them by the end of the movie because the movie just kind of wipes that clean and makes you just like stare at the screen going, what did I just watch?
Yeah. Well, it's pretty much the entire movie is like, can we get out there? Can we get out? Okay, I'm going to try to get out there. And then someone tries to go out there and then like the Parker guy is like immediately right there. And then they had to run back in the ATM.
or it's like, I'm going to go out there. No, don't go out there.
All right.
Like, and, yeah, I really hated What's-Her-Face in this movie. The only female in this movie.
Oh, man. Yeah. God, what's her name? Alice Eve.
Alice Eve is the worst. I guess she's playing it like, you know, that whiny companion girl in a horror movie, because she plays it to the point where I was like, I would fucking leave you.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of laughed. I mean, I saw it. Like, spoiler alert, she dies in this really, like, kind of stupid fashion.
Well, the reason where, they're like, there is stupid, because, like, they get drunk at, like, a Christmas party, and then they're like, let's go get pizza.
No, Josh Peck gets drunk.
He's like,
And then he gets whiny.
We should go get some pizza. Stop at the ATM because I don't make money.
And, like, they brought up a point where I was confused, too, because Josh's card doesn't work. That's why he brings in the other guy, right? Yeah. And if it doesn't work, how do you get through the door? And they don't address that. Remember that? Where, yeah. Like, they ask, like, and that doesn't get resolved or anything. Just, like, it just doesn't.
Yeah, I thought, like, Parker guy, like, stole, like, their, like, cut the wires or something, or, like, did something to the car that wouldn't.
Yeah, nothing. Or like, okay, what about the girl's phone?
Like, it is, like, completely abandoned parking lot, and they park, like, 100 feet away from the ATM.
Well, they did it to make him walk, to be a dick to him. Which I kind of got.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, there's no other cameras? Like, this is a really, like, this is a freaking parking lot engineer, like, nightmare, where only one zone has a camera, so like, there's so many dead zones, you know?
Mm.
It's so, in this society, no parking lot should be designed like that. It was like one main camera, and you got all these dead spots.
I like how Parker guy is like just like engineering genius, and he just like plans everything out.
Well, I see, that's what I mean. Like, he looked it up to find like ideal situations where like he can go on a murder spree and not be like seen or cause a problem.
I like how the whole credits is like setting up a sequel where he's like gonna like attack a gas station or something.
Which is kind of cool. Like, I don't mind seeing a sequel to see this a second attempt to try to redeem itself, because I hated like all these characters. I hated the fact that this situation is so like stupid.
And they do like the dumbest things ever to like try to get out of the ATM.
Yeah, I kind of like
guys, let's let a fire in the ATM.
Well, that happens at the end when it's like it's pouring water.
Because like Parker guy, like, I should mention, like, the killer is, like, wearing a parka, and you can't see his face, and he has, like, a tire iron as, like, his weapon, I think, right?
Well, he's crafty in the sense where he just picks up whatever he needs at the time to do
it. But he, like, he takes, like, a fire hose or something and, like, starts pumping it into the ATM. And it's also below freezing temperature-wise, so it's, like, yeah.
Well, the concept is that, like, the cold is making them delirious and stupid, which I kind of got, you know, but...
Like,
instead of, like, really focusing their energy, they just kind of, like, whine about it.
And, like, LSE, like, stands on the guy's shoulders and, like, falls off and, like, cocks her head on the fucking, like...
Breaks her fucking neck or something. Either way, she died. I was like, oh, my God. Why can this happen hours earlier?
There should have been, like, a slipping sound effect when she fell off. And they're trying to, like, hold, like, a garbage can with, like... flaming, like, paper up to, like, turn the, like, the sprinkler on to, like, go turn cause the fire alarm to go off or something. And they try, like, breaking into the ATM to, like, get the police there. It doesn't work.
My question is, what kind of ATM system doesn't, like, alert cops when you're trying to break into it, you know? I'm pretty sure, like, if you press the wrong keys, like, someone will come and be like, what are you doing? But it seems like,
they're like, oh, if you enter your code three times, it's like a distress call or something.
Yeah, that didn't work. Like, it's an urban myth, but like, maybe like ATM should have that, you know? The, so it wasn't like a good follow-up to VHS, because some VHS stories were like really good, intense stories, and then I got this to be like, well, maybe I'll finish it off by like watching a full length non-shaky cam one, and I was just like bored, because it's like an hour and a half long as a full feature, and like nothing happens for most of it. There's a lot of complaining.
Well, I'm pretty sure the director or the writer was on Buried, which was kind of like, I mean, kind of the same concept of like trapped in one place. Did you see Buried, Chris?
No, but I heard about it. But I heard Buried was like a more intense movie with like characters you kind of care about.
Oh yeah, the writer on Buried was the writer of ATF.
Well, he forgot something along the way. Yeah. Something did not, like, transfer over.
Yeah, Barry was definitely, like, way more tense and, like things actually happening.
I had high hopes for ATM. I did. Yeah. I watched the trailer, like, a year ago, and it was like, oh, maybe I'll see this.
I mean, I usually watch, like, any of the, like, Trapped in One Place movies. Like, I watched, like, Vehicle 19 earlier with Paul Walker, where he was, like, trapped in a van the entire movie. Huh. And, like, I fucking love Phone Booth.
Yep. So this is, like, this, like, yeah, not anything like that.
Could have used, like, Kiefer Sutherland just, like, taunting them the entire movie.
Like, if the killer was Kiefer Sutherland, that'd be kind of cool. Yeah. It's like, hey. Like, if he's taunting them from a distance.
Yeah.
But the fact the killer is, like, quiet and just, like, oddly
fast. I'm wearing a parka.
It's so cold.
I'm better than Dog Walker.
I thought that would be, like, go back and reference something cool about that, and there was none.
It's just like, oh, yeah, that Dog Walker is still out there dead. Doesn't he kill a cop, too, at some point?
He kills
a security guard.
Parking lot security guard, where it took him a few hours for, like, anyone to notice that guy died. Which, this is a terrible security, it's a terrible, like, parking lot, it's a terrible ATM service. But maybe that's the charm about this, that the guy researched it, and that's why it's like, oh, these are terrible conditions for, like, being trapped, so this is why I picked it.
If it was a better movie, I think he could have been, like, a pretty, like, interesting villain.
Even if he explained it a little, or there was, like, some subtlety to it, but I shouldn't have to sit there and figure that out like this, where I have to figure out excuses for the killer, you know?
Yeah, he could have used a little more personality. Like, he was, like, some deranged, like, engineer or something. I designed that ATM, now I'm gonna destroy it.
That would make sense. That would totally...
I got fired from the ATM company.
Yeah, or I worked for the bank. Like, something. We'll see. I don't know. It's definitely not on my top, like, watches by yourself movies.
No, it's not. I say don't watch it.
Like, unless you watch it with a group of people, it's good. If not, just don't waste your time.
There's better Trapped in One Place movies that you could watch.
Well, that's it for me, Zach. What about you?
Did you see P. Home Show?
No.
Oh, Joe must have watched it then, because I know I didn't tweet it.
Yeah, he watched it.
It's pretty great. It's basically, like, if you listen to the P. Holmes podcast or seen the sketches, I mean, basically that's what the show is. It's like sketches, then Pete does a little stand-up, and then he, like, talks to one of his, like, comedy friends, and they just have, like kind of serious, but, like, these, like, weird serious but also hilarious, discussion, like, a quick, like, interview, and then that's the show. It's, like, half an hour long. But they had, like, the first episode had, like, have you seen, like, the X-Men ones that he's been doing, Chris?
Yep.
Yeah, they had the Wolverine one on. And then he had this story about how he went to, like, an Enrique Iglesias concert. And he was, like, the only, like, white male there. And everyone else was, like, Latino women. And it was, like, the first concert he went to, a ton of years. Like, he forgot there was, like, encores and stuff. So, like, he's like stands up to leave, and then, like, Enrique Iglesias, like, appears in front of him as, like, the last song. So it's pretty hilarious, like, if you're a fan of Pete Holmes. I mean, it's basically what you would expect from Pete Holmes. Actually, there's another, like, the Sunset Midnight, there's also another midnight show that's on, right, like, every night now, too. Have you seen or heard of At Midnight, Chris?
Nope.
It's hosted by Chris Hardwick. It's on Comedy Central. It's kind of like Whose Line Is It Anyway? But with, like, social media and, like, just rant, like, different comedians every night. Because it's like, they have like three comedians on, and they compete for points, quote unquote. But it's just like super arbitrary points that Chris Hardwick gives them. And they're kind of like, they're like doing like these like questions about like, is this Twitter like post real? Or like, what's going on with this YouTube video? Or like, is this a real Craigslist ad? And it's pretty good too. Mm-hmm. They've had some really good, like they've had like Patton Oswalt and Doug Benson and Christian Schaal and a ton of other people on that show. So I'd say definitely check out. I mean, they're both on at the same time, so.
Oh yeah,
pick. You gotta pick. I mean, At Midnight's on Hulu the next day, so I'd say probably watch Pete Holmes and then watch At Midnight on Hulu or something or on demand next day. But yeah, as far as movies go, I watched quite a few things. All of them, except for one, all of them pretty awful. It's kind of the opposite of last week, where ooh, I watched a bunch of good stuff except for one thing. This week I watched a bunch of awful things except for one thing. So I guess I'll kick off with probably the best thing I watched this week, since the last podcast. Jackass Bad Grandpa.
That's good. He saw that.
I mean, pretty much exactly what you're expecting if you've seen the trailers. And actually, that's kind of the main problem with it, is that you kind of seen some of the big set pieces in the trailer already, and it's not, there's nothing really added to it that you, in the movie. Like, the, you know, the beauty pageant thing that you see in the trailer?
It's probably the climax.
It's the climax, and you've seen pretty much all of it in the trailer. So that was a little disappointing. There's a couple things that pretty hilarious set pieces that weren't in the trailer. There's a part where Giant Axel, as Irving Zeisman, goes to a bingo game and just like causes havoc at this bingo hall. Like he like drinks like his like bingo marker ink for some reason, and then like pulls out like a blender and starts making margaritas. And like he's like hitting on like all the bingo ladies around him. And there's another part where like, he goes to this like bar in like St. Louis, and they're having like ladies' night, and there's like these like male strippers there, and he's like basically hitting on all the ladies there, and then eventually like he was like I'm gonna go strip to show the ladies what I got, and then like he's like wearing like white tighties, but has like these like obviously like rubber like testicles hanging out like old man balls, and just like running around like flapping them, everyone like running at people. And there's like a bunch of just like super quick but like random pranks going on through the whole movie. It's the first Jackass movie with an actual plot. Even though it's kind of like it doesn't really matter at all. But basically the plot is that Irving has to get his grandson to Irving's daughter goes to jail again for drugs. So he has to like get his grandson Billy to North Carolina from Nebraska. To get like put him with like his deadbeat dad because Irving doesn't want to deal with him, because also because Irving is like his wife died, so now he's like free to like go and like hit on women now because he's free of his marriage. So like it's just it's there them like going down like the sort of like the middle / south of America and like getting into random adventures.
I feel like it had that like Bruno vibe to it.
Yeah, definitely. Where probably. Yeah, Bruno Borat, like, it's got a very loose plot just, like, to connect, like, these set-piece comedy sequences in them. It's kind of weird, too, because, like, you'll get to, like, points where, like, someone is about to, like, punch Giant Axel in the face, or they're about to get the cops called out on them, and the next scene is, like, them driving away with, like, seemingly no consequences. And there's a super, super bizarre, like, dramatic climax, like, or, like, climactic confrontation. That is, like, deadly, like, dead serious and not funny. Where, like, it's, like, Giant Axel as Irving confronting, like, his son-in-law at, like, this bar. Where, like, all these bikers who are, like, the Guardians of Children biker organization, which, like, protect kids from, like, abuse. So, like, they're deadly serious about, like, protecting, like, the grandson. And, but then, like, Irving and his son-in-law are having, like, this, like, actual, like, emotional arguments. And it was just like, it's like super bizarre for a Jackass movie. Like, why is, what is going on? Like, you're waiting for like, kind of waiting for like this, like, is there gonna be like a punchline to this scene? Okay, there's not. Okay, that's weird, Jackass.
Okay, now everyone's depressed.
It's kind of like, compared to the other movies, like, I would say this is the tamest Jackass movie. Because there's nothing super disgusting going on. Like, nothing, like, in, like, I don't know, like, the fart funnel or whatever that was in. Where, like, remember that one, like, Steve had they put, like, a funnel over Steve-O's head and, like, farted into it and they puked all over into, like, the helmet?
Yep.
Nothing, like, as disgusting as that in this one. It's more just pranks and, like, messing with people, like, stealing stuff from convenience stores and, like, just going up to random people in the streets and, like asking them, like, weird questions or stuff like that. And then, during the credits, there's, like, it's kind of cool, too. You can see, like, everyone, like, basically, the credits are all, like, them telling everyone who's been in the movie, like, they're filming the movie. So, like, everyone who you saw get, like, super pissed off, like, super, like, annoyed by it, like, oh man, you guys are filming a movie? That's crazy! And they're all, like, super happy about it.
Those are all the reaction shots.
It doesn't seem like there's any, like, the usual, like, them, like, prank-warring each other the entire time.
Well, it's probably just Johnny Knoxville. No one else is really there.
Yeah, it's Johnny Knoxville and then the kid. And actually, the kid is actually, like, Jackson Nicole is actually pretty great. I think he keeps up with Johnny Knoxville pretty good. And then, like Spike Jonze is there, obviously, and, like, Jeff Tremaine, who's been the director for all of them. So I'd say, I mean, I don't think you need to rush out and see it. Especially because, like, some of the bigger, like, some of the main things that have already been, you've seen them in the trailer already, so you need, like, I don't think you need to rush out the theater to see it, but if you're a fan of Jackass, I'd say kind of, like, it'd be a good, solid rental. I think they've all ended up on Netflix at some points, too, so that'd probably be a good way to check it out, too. Then the other movie I saw in theaters was The Counselor, which seemed on paper to be, like, just, another, like, 3 weeks in a row, like, best movies of the year, like, out of, like, you had Gravity, Captain Phillips, now you had The Counselor, so it seemed like it was going to be, like, 3 for 3. And it's, like, directed by Ridley Scott, it's written by Cormac McCarthy, it's got Michael Fassbender, Javier Bardem, Cameron Diaz, Penelope Cruz, Brad Pitt in it, and it is just a complete mess. Horrible mess of a movie,
which is surprising.
It is shockingly awful. Like how bad it is, like compared to, like the talent that is involved in it. And it's so like pretentious and like up its own ass, and like nothing happens. Like the plot is essentially that like Michael Fassbender is this unnamed counselor. Everyone just calls him the counselor the entire time, or a counselor. He doesn't have a name. And he gets involved. He, like, basically, it's not really, they don't explain, like, why he wants to get involved in this drug deal. He's not using any of, like, his lawyer skills to, like, help the drug deal in any way. Like, he's not, bribing the officials, like, using, like, his legal skills to, like, do anything. It seems like he's just, like, investing in this drug deal. Like, hey, we need, like some money to, like, like, here, have some shares of this drug deal. Like, here's some stock in this drug deal. So he does that, and then, obviously, the drug deal, if you've seen any sort of drug movie, the drug deal goes bad.
It never goes right.
And then he just, like, instantly just, like, collapses and panics and, like, freaks out and is like, oh my god, drug deals can go bad? I didn't know that. Yeah, but, like, I would say, two-thirds of the movie or more is just, like, characters having, like, these, like, super long, pretentious conversations with each other about, like, the nature of evil and, like, the nature of greed and, like, relationships and other, like, bullshit that, like, you don't, like, it's, like, doesn't anyone realize there's, like, this, like, $20 million drug deal that's going on? That you should be probably, like, interested in, and not like talking about how like Cameron Diaz fucked a car at some point. And it's insane too, because like Cameron Diaz is like the mastermind of the movie. Like, she's the only one who's like, she like outmaneuvers every single person in the movie, and but it's also like super blunt about like the fact that like, oh man, she's like a predator, guys, because she like they have like she's like dating Javier Bardem, and they have like pet cheetahs for some reason, and then she has like cheetah spot tattoos on her back, so it's like, oh my god, guys, she's like a cheetah, like a predator. And everyone else is their prey.
So they beat the subtlety over their head.
It's everyone is explaining the themes of the movie, and then for like not even 5 minutes, something interesting happens with the drug, like the truck carrying the drugs, and then back to like horrible pretentious conversations about other things. There's nothing.
Did you know doing bad things can cause more bad things? Like, no. This is a dialogue scene.
Hey, counselor. If you get in this drug deal, bad things are going to happen to you. For, like, the first half of the movie. And then, like, second half of the movie is like, hey, counselor, this drug deal went bad. Bad things are going to happen to you.
Oh, no. Who could have predicted?
It was like Brad Pitt's talking about, like, fucking snuff films at some point. And then, like, I think Michael Fassbender, like, the most, like, ridiculously awful scene I've probably seen this year. Or, like, or one of the most awful of this year is... At some point, Penelope Cruz gets kidnapped by this drug cartel, and then Michael Fassbender shows up at like this hotel, and there's like a burned DVD on his bed that doesn't like just says like "Play Me" or something, or like has like or like a date on it, and he just like instantly just like collapses and starts like crying uncontrollably. I guess you're supposed to like assume it's like a video of like them killing Penelope Cruz, but just like it's like the very just the fact that there's a DVD on his bed like makes him just like collapse into like the fetal position.
Is he watching
the
DVD?
No, you never see. Just like it's in the case. You're just like, oh my god, it's a burned DVD.
Wow.
I mean, there's like one or two cool things. There's like a pretty cool sequence where like a biker gets like decapitated by a razor wire.
I saw that in the trailer.
I mean, that was probably the coolest part of the movie. And there's also a pretty cool thing. One of the characters gets like killed by this. I guess it's a real thing that cartels are actually using, but it's like this like trick, like this like razor wire like noose that's like you put it around someone's neck, and then it's like it's got a timer on it. It's just like tightened. It's like got like some sort of like winch or like motor system in it, and like just tightens and tightens and tightens until like decapitates the person. So there's like 10 minutes of, like Javier Bardem like explaining that thing, and then so it's obvious like they're gonna use it at some point in the rest later in the movie. And then another part where like Dean Norris shows up for no reason. It's like the scene with like Dean Norris and John Leguizamo talking. What? Like they get to deliver the drugs, but it's like completely unclear and never explained who either of them are working for or what the hell they're doing. It's just like, hey, here's drugs. Let's talk about like this guy, this like this body that's in this barrel for a little bit. So, yeah, nothing happens. It seems like it should be super interesting. Like, there's this crazy, huge drug deal going on. It should be, like, there should be things happening about this drug deal. But, and I don't know, like, the idea. I mean, maybe Breaking Bad just set the bar way too high for, like, drug thrillers. But, yeah, I mean... It's just nothing. This movie's just nothing. So I would say, I mean, it's definitely going to be in my bottom five of the year, for sure.
Another one to
the list? I would say it's as bad as Pain and Gain. But I would rather see Pain and Gain again over Counselor any day of the week, just because, like, at least it's kind of funny and things happen in it. So, continuing the awfulness trend. I watched the latest movie for Enter the Asylum, which was Pirates of Treasure Island. Which, if you can't tell, that's the Asylum's attempt to sort of rip off Pirates of the Caribbean, but also saving money by using Treasure Island, which is public domain and free for use. So, and it actually, it came out the same year as Dead Man's Chest. So I think basically like the week or two before that movie came out, Pirates of the Treasure Island came out. And it's got Lance Henriksen as Long John Silver. And it basically follows the same general plot of Treasure Island, where you've got Jim Hawkins going around. He finds the treasure map and from Billy Bones, and then hires a crew and heads out for Treasure Island. They throw, like, for pretty much no reason, they throw, like, Anne Bonny in, who wasn't in Treasure Island, and it's a real pirate.
Right. It's just, like, a famous pirate that they're just going, like, yeah, you're in this now.
It's like throwing Blackbeard or something in. And then, yeah, I mean, it follows basically the same plot as Treasure Island. The kind of the asylum twist on it is that there's like giant bugs on Treasure Island, but the insane thing is like the bugs don't factor into the plot in any way and don't kill anyone at all. It's just like they're more of an annoyance than anything else. There's like one scene where like the crew is like on the island and they like run into these bugs, but they just like shoot one in the face and then they run away and then that's it. They never see the bugs again. And I guess, and they kind of imply that, like, one of the bugs, like, bit off Long John Silver's leg. That's how he got his peg leg, is, like, a giant bug bit it off. But you don't see it. And there's just, like, these, like, awful, awful, like, sword fight sequences that are, like, initiated, like, out of nowhere. Like, it kind of reminds me of, like, the Boondocks. Like, remember when they talk about, like, if someone throws a metal chair, like, everyone starts fighting?
Okay.
It's just, like, someone, like, at the beginning of the movie, they're on Treasure Island, they're, like, burying their treasure, and then someone, like, Long John Silver, like, goes on, like, a mutiny, and then someone fires a gun somewhere, and everyone's just like, ah, we're fighting! And everyone's just, like, murdering each other. And, like, the costumes are, like less impressive than, like, the Treasure Island casino, like, show. And
they're just like anything from the Goodwill that's a piratey. Yeah.
Like Muppet Treasure Island is like has like way more like dignity and class and convincing settings than Pirates of Treasure Island. Like the guy playing like Captain Smollier is like he has like Kermit the Frog is like has so much more like gravitas than this like real human being.
Okay.
Like I would like I on the post I made like a list of things I'd rather watch than like Pirates of Treasure Island. And it's like all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, Cutthroat Island, Hook, Muppet Treasure Island, Treasure Planet, like Black Sails, which isn't even out yet, but I'm sure I would rather watch that than this. Yeah, I mean, pretty much any Pirates thing is probably better than this movie.
Pirate, like, was it the fourth one? Dead Man's. No, that was
Stranger Tides. Yeah,
Stranger Tides. I'd watch that better.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm sure even like the Pirates, like, softcore porn is probably has better, like, costume design and, like, setting than, like, than this movie.
I think that should have been, like, your opening title, where, like, the porno was better.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things, like, wasn't there a porn called Pirates that was probably better than this? I'm like, yes, there was. And then, last thing I watched Dead in Tombstone.
The Dan Trejo
Western.
Jesus.
Where Dan Trejo and Anthony Michael Hall are somehow brothers, and
what?
Well, I mean, I don't, like, I think they say, like, they had different fathers, but they're sent from the same mother or something, and they call each other Hermano. But yeah, they're part of this gang, and then Anthony Michael Hall betrays Dantreo after, like, this big heist, and Dantreo goes to hell and meets the devil, played by Mickey Rourke, who is clearly dubbed over the entire time. Like, it is not Mickey Rourke talking. It kind of sounds like a guy doing a Dolph Lundgren impression. Like, if it's like the guy who'd like do the voiceover for the Expendables video game doing Dolph Lundgren, like that sounds like who Mickey Rourke sounds like in this movie. And so basically Dantreo like makes this deal where like he'll go back to Earth and kill everyone in his like former gang to like send their souls to hell, so like and then they'll be like pay off his soul. And it's basically just like Dantreo going back and like murdering everyone. But it's like this like super generic like just Western like not even like there's not even like any like fun cliche Western thing. There's no like train robbery and like no like horseback chases or anything. It's just like this one like Western town set that they have somewhere, and Dantreo just like wandering around and like shooting people.
I mean, that's the premise, because the trailer made it seem like Dantreo was going to kill some people.
He does. The movie. He's definitely no Machete, though.
Yeah, he's not artful. He's kind of like, I just shoot a lot of people, yeah. I see.
And also, like, Dina Mayer is in this movie. From, like, Starship Troopers and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. Oh, wait. She's the curly redhead. She was Giz. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, her husband was, like, the sheriff, and then Anthony Michael Hall killed him. So now she's like, somehow, for some reason, she's still in town, but now and it hasn't done anything for, like, a couple of years. Like, I think it's like a year. Like, Dantreo's in, like, hell for a year and then comes back. The anniversary of the day he died.
I thought it came back instantaneous. Like, when he died, he came right back. Wasn't like, oh, I'll wait,
well,
like,
it seems
year.
Like, well, it feels like he was only in hell for, like, 5 minutes, but it turns out, like, I guess hell time is different, so it's been, like, a year. But, yeah, there's no, like, creative deaths. It's not even that gory. It's just, like, generic Western action movie. Like, I don't even know if, like, even if you're, like, Dantreo fan, I don't know if it's, like, worth checking it. Like, there's way better Dantreo movies to watch. Like, go watch Badass, cause that movie is ridiculous and awesome. Yeah, so I think that's pretty much it.
We covered a lot. We went to a lot of bad movies.
I think we saw quite a lot of awful this week, Chris.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see something good and be more excited about it, because some of the things were like, yeah, this is terrible, and I don't want to see this again, so I can't watch this with you.
Yeah.
Like, and then just like, I don't know, like, I don't think I could stomach, like, a back-to-back double week of terrible movies by myself.
Mm. Well, I'll probably try to see Ender's Game at some point.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And we got Thor next week, so...
Yeah, hopefully that counters everything.
And then whatever else we watch on Netflix or whatever, Redbox. So, so I think that's going to do it for this week's show. If you want more from us, you go to www.fnation.com. Head over there, download, and check out our House on the Haunted Hill commentary. Then also, go check out, if you haven't, all of our New York Comic Con stuff. We have nine podcasts. And a photo post. So go check all those out if you haven't checked those out yet. Interviews with a bunch of people. And also go head over to Facebook. Facebook.com/everything.action for our Facebook page. Everythingaction.tumblr.com. Twitter.com/EVAction. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching for Everything Action on iTunes. You can get our app on there if you're iPhone by touch. You can also get our subscribe to our podcast center. Rate us, leave some comments, leave us some reviews. And then you can also find us on Stitcher.com. So search for us on Stitcher.com. You can stream us or download us on there as well. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.